Now, our next artist has a lot of April dates coming right up in Johnson City and Bristol, the Tri-Cities area. She's been called an outlaw, a cosmic cowgirl, says she has a voice like an angel.
I'm not an angel.
This is Kimmy Rhodes. Interview following this song.
I'm just someone who has strayed from heaven's gaze. Not an angel, baby. Just another.
With Kimmy Rhodes. She's a singer, songwriter, producer, and now a documentary filmmaker. Her works have been performed by Winona Judd, Trish Yearwood, Emmylou Harris, just so many brilliant projects. Pleased to bring you Kimmy Rhodes on Women on Air. Kimmy, thanks for joining us.
Well, Susan, I'm so happy to be joining you for Women on Air, and congratulations on your 30th year.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited, too. But we want to hear about your project, Radio Dreams, the story of the outlaw DJ and the cosmic cowgirl. I want to hear all about that.
Okay, well, I'll be happy to tell you about it. I have been working for about 5 years now with a filmmaker and a DJ and the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Crossroads Archives and Lubbock and all these different people on a project that I call the Radio Dreams Project. I was married to a man named Joe Gracie that I met when I came to Austin in 1979. We worked together for a couple of years. He became the love of my life. And he was instrumental in the very beginnings of the, you know, the now famous Austin music scene, where all the hippies and the rednecks came together in the 70s. And Joe Gracie was on the radio at that time. Mm-hmm. And he was getting ready to make a record with a famous producer as a singer and a songwriter. And in his own right, he was about to work with Cowboy Jack Clement. He lost his voice to cancer just before he was able to make those records. And as fate would have it, I walked through the door of his recording studio. He had reinvented himself as a record producer once he lost his voice permanently and could no longer sing or be on the radio. And I walked through the door of his studio in Austin, Texas, called Electric Gracie Land in December of 1979. And we worked together and eventually fell in love. And I became his voice for 30 years. I got to sing the songs he wasn't able to sing. And my first 45 were the songs that he didn't record with Jack Clement. And we lived 3 decades of incredible time together. We made music. We traveled the world. He played in my band. 2011, his cancer returned, and we lost him. And after that, I was left to redefine myself as an artist. I lost my muse as a wife. I lost my husband, and I lost my companion, and I had to decide how I was going to move forward. I knew that he had started a book called Radio Dreams, but I was also left with many, many, many archives from his days in radio, things that he had written, 3 decades of pictures and albums and rare recordings. So once I found my feet after about the first 6 months after his death, I started going through things, and I talked to the Country Music Hall of Fame about his story. They sent a filmmaker, documentary maker, Eric Gettleman, to me. We started working on a documentary that was originally supposed to be a 2-hour film on the outlaw movement. I'd worked with Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and those guys as part of that outlaw movement. And it was called They Called Us Outlaws. It was originally going to be 2 hours. It ballooned into 12 hours, and I've been helping Eric by donating archives and acting as a liaison and an associate producer on that for at least 4 years or more. And then I started working with the Country Music Hall of Fame on an exhibit that's going to open in May called Outlaws and Armadillos, Country's Roaring 70s. Now, the book is called Radio Dreams. It's the book that Joe Gracie had started, and I decided to make it a dual memoir, and I wove together many of the other written things that were important in pictures. And to tell our story, I called it Radio Dreams, the story of the outlaw DJ and the cosmic cowgirl. So all of these things, the book's out now, the exhibit's about to open at the Country Music Hall of Fame. The documentary is almost done and is to be presented by the Country Music Hall of Fame. The audio documentary will be out in the fall. And all of these many things have come together to place these archives and to place my husband's legacy. And I call it the Radio Dreams Project. My hope is that others will be inspired to place their documents and archives, get them out of the closet, and into the places where they belong so they can be used to educate and for research. So that it's time for us to tell the story of the music we love in our generation that started towards the late 60s and up until the present time, really, where my generation came back to country music and really changed the face of country music and the sound of country music in my lifetime.
I can't fully imagine just how much you have had to read and to sort through, plus research, plus, you know, finding the threads to weave together. That is just fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about your voice and how your singing voice developed.
I started singing when I was 6 years old in Lubbock, Texas. My dad was an orphan at 7 years old.
Mm.
And it was an interesting story. It was sort of a paper moon story. He never really had a father or any parents. He grew up on the streets of Wichita Falls until he was adopted by a woman who worked at a carnival. She took him to live with her, and that's where he grew up. So he never really had much of a role model as a father, but he had been in a sort of show business his whole childhood. So we moved to Lubbock when I was about almost 6 years old, and he looked at me and thought, what would this kid do if she was like me? And his way of being a father to me was to teach me to sing.
Uh-huh.
And because he was a carny and a gambler, but a wonderful man. That makes him sound like some kind of bad person, but he was an amazing person. He was magic. He was the only dad I knew who could find a quarter in your nose, lose it, and pull it out of your ear. But he taught me to sing for dimes, and he'd stand me out in front of these car lots in Lubbock to sing while he'd go check football bets in the back office. So those were my beginnings. It all eventually led to a wonderful friendship with Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Chris Christopherson, and all those guys that they called outlaws. It's like in the documentary, Christopherson says, none of us ever robbed banks, but we went our own way and did our own thing and made the music we wanted to make, and for that we were called outlaws. So one thing led to another. A lot of magic happened in my life and in my career. And I guess that's the story of how I fit that picture.
Talk to us a little bit about what you will be doing on campus. You also are in Bristol. You also are at the Down Home.
As part of the Radio Dreams Project, I'm placing archives, but I'm also using those materials to teach and to speak to classes. I was just in Lubbock last week. I spoke to two women's studies classes, race and gender. I spoke to a songwriting class, mass communications, radio production. I've been working with the theater department there and talking to them because I donated a lot of the things from my plays to those archives. Just after Easter, I'm headed to speak to East Tennessee State University and Appalachian Studies Department songwriting class on April the 5th, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I've been working with the Buddy Holly Educational Foundation as an ambassador and working with young writers, talking to young writers and trying to pass along, you know, the message that was in Buddy's music, the spirit of having fun.
Mm.
You know, it's not just about how many likes you have on Facebook and all the marketing things that we do these days, but it's really important to find your feet as a writer early on, be good at it, and remember to have fun. Cowboy Jack Clement said we're in the fun business, so if we're not having fun, we're not doing our job, and I agree with that.
Kimmy Rhodes on Women on Air. Details will be on the Facebook page.